Hello and welcome
Hello.
to the B Team podcast. My name is John Macy. We have a full boat tonight. Today I'm joined by Josh Krubner, Milosh,
Hello.
Brent Perry,
Hi.
and Justin Ayotte.
What's up?
And we are here to do something that we're thinking of doing as lead up to Deadpool and Wolverine, a combined review of the three loose trilogy of Wolverine films: X-Men Origins Wolverine, Wolverine, and Logan. Given that this will probably be not super long, but one of our longer shows, I kind of feel like we should dispense with the usual, like, okay, how did we first see this and whatever. All I will say for all three of these was that I know I saw all three of these in theaters initially. I do recall that with the Wolverine, I actually went to the Thursday preview show the weekend it was released in 2013. But beyond that, I have no specific thoughts about them. If anybody else does, great. But I don't think that we necessarily need that for these.
Yeah, no, it's the same as usual with the Marvel movie. I was a nerd. I drug half of my friends to go see them. They didn't think the first X-Men was that bad, so they went to like most of the rest of them that came out, and none of us were really impressed with any of the Wolverine ones until Logan, and that was just because it was something slightly different from a superhero movie at the time. But yeah, if we're going for just Wolverine Origins, yeah, no, it was just there, so we went and saw it, and it was not amazing.
It was 2009, and we saw a trailer, I believe, during Watchmen. And my best friend Mike goes, "It's fucking Wolverine, he's got fucking claws." And that was it.
Sounds about
Okay,
right.
so let's. I guess technically we should start with X-Men Origins Wolverine. I'm sorry. Released in 2009, directed by Gavin Hood. I have no clue who that guy is, but apparently his name is
Don't
Gavin
worry,
Hood.
neither does anybody else.
Starring Jackman, Liev Schreiber, Danny Houston, Dominic Monaghan, Lynn Collins, and some other people, and
They
Ryan
gave
Reynolds.
Monahan a starring credit?
I mean, he's in the credits, I'll say that. I'm
Well,
not
yeah,
sure why
okay,
you'd
but I okay.
want to be in the
I'd like
credits for
you'd
this
think
movie.
at best he'd get a whiff. Like,
Taylor Kitsch, Will I Am, et cetera, et cetera. So if I remember the behind the scenes for this movie, this was between X2 and The Last Stand, and I
Yes.
think if I remember the thought process correctly at the time, the idea on Fox's part was that a third movie with the full cast was going to be cost prohibitive, so they were planning on doing a bunch of these solo movies. The plans at the time, at least initially, were this: a Magneto Origins movie, which basically turned into X-Men First Class.
No, this
Large
was
parts
after
of
Last Stand.
Was this
I
after
don't think
Last
it
Stand?
was.
Yeah, Last Stand was 2006. Spider-Man
Oh, was
3.
it?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, because I thought Spider-Man 3 was 07, wasn't it?
Right, what I'm saying is Spider-Man 3 was the one that was after that, and then they were like, that movie bombed, we need to bring back the X-Men. So this was the
Ah.
first initial prior to revival leading into First Class.
Yeah, right. Oh, right. First Class came after this. Yep, that was
Yeah, it was
11.
2010.
Right.
11.
So the Magneto movie turned into First Class. There was also talk of a Storm film at one point, which I'm sure Halle Berry's lack of interest and the fans' lack of interest in her in that role probably killed that. But anyway, this was produced by Hugh Jackman's production company and largely filmed in Australia at his urging. Covers the time indeterminate other well the intro has he's a small child in like 1800s Canada, and we see him like sickly and ill, and he's got this like friend named Victor Creed, who is like the son of the family help, I think.
Yep.
And I mean, some of this is taken from the Wolverine Origin comic that came out around this time, because If I remember correctly, Marvel wanted to get a legitimate on the record origin for him out there before the movies did it for them.
Kinda, yeah, and they were trying to fix up a lot of their continuity when it came to the X titles at that time.
And, well, this was the Chuck Austin X-Men era, which is just known for being that shit off the wall nonsense.
Yeah, it's all cheesecake fucking shots and no story, like nothing that makes sense.
So,
Professor X's fetus lived in his brain and then took over and then became her own thing for a while. It was a dark time, but they tried to fix things just before that. And this,
you know, she's the villain in Deadpool.
Wolverine got the.
Yeah, she's the bad guy in Deadpool 3, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Pyro's also in there.
So we see, Pyro's in the trailers. That's true. We see.
Sorry, Milos. I forgot you don't watch trailers.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the kid who plays. Pyro, so I'm okay with that.
Well, by the sound of it, like, from the people that have said they've turned down coming back, it sounds like they've offered fucking everybody from the Fox Men movies at least a cameo role, and it sounds like most of them are just to be killed off and what the apparent plot looks like it's going to be, but yeah.
Yep.
So we see the development of the Bone Claws. He finds out that Victor Creed's father is actually his father, which makes this Creed guy his sibling, which is a version of that relationship different from anything done in the comics, I think. They've never actually said that, but I know.
Nah. We don't know
if there was
true or not. Never confirmed.
Well, there was Duck and Janitor, and then his kid, and there was always, like, is that Sabretooth? Is it not Sabretooth? But they never actually really confirmed it, even in the comic. But they did in the
movie. Yeah.
Yep. So then, James Howlett, which was his name before, I think Logan just becomes, like, a fake name that he takes on because he doesn't know any better. The two of them, they have a montage going through several wars, where you're supposed to be shown in the most ham-handed way possible that, you know, they both kill when necessary, or at least kill in the terms of war, but Victor starts to actually enjoy it a little bit, and
it shows that both are just fighting machines, like, they just, that was the one thing they found use is, like, just be straight up fucking savage and tear things apart on a battlefield. It's the easiest way to survive,
He's had enough when they get
it helps when you can't die, so.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing that I love, because I absolutely unapologetically love this movie, it's fucking terrible, it's so much fun. Nothing in the initial opening flashback shows that maybe Sabretooth is an actual mutant, and then, like, all of a sudden they're both just immortal, and there's no explanation behind it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just in the words of Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool, he has the fingernails of a bag lady.
Well, and that's the thing, like, even though, like, if that's how you're gonna show his power as an adult, there could have been one scene where as a kid he, grows them when, you know what I mean? To calm fucking, Logan down when he's fucking spazzing out as a kid, and he's like, okay, look, I can do it too, and here's how you pull back in, and, like, just one little scene with the kids, and that's all it would have took for that to make more sense, yeah.
So we get to, I believe it was supposed to be a village in Vietnam, where they basically both get put to a firing squad and survive it, and then they're recruited by William Stryker, played by Danny Houston, reprising the Brian Cox role from X2, and...
So my only question is, where the fuck was Sabretooth when Wolverine saved the Japanese man that comes back in fucking the next movie?
Wolverine? No idea.
I mean, my question is, how does that Sabretooth turn into the one in X-Men 1? Like, I don't think it's the same character.
I think he might have seen something really, really scary and his hair turned white.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that one Crash Test Dummy song. Mm-hmm.
Here's my other thing. Like, if Brian Cox is one of the highlights of that original trilogy in terms of a villain, like, Houston's terrible.
He tries, but
try
to be like Brian Cox, but be like younger than Brian Cox. But here's a script that makes no fucking sense.
I mean,
here you go.
I think they're both better than the CW looking guy that shows up in the prequels.
This is true.
Tomorrow, you'll see partly sunny weather.
Alexa, enough.
Justin's Alexa.
Sarah's Alexa, yeah, it kind of just gives weather reports randomly.
Okay. So they're recruited by Stryker to, I don't know if they call it anything, but it's obviously the Weapon X program or some version
Task Force X.
Yeah, they're basically like Task a bootleg X-Force.
Okay.
Well, it's supposed to be like Task Force X or like Department H, like the early version of like when Sabretooth, Maverick, Wolverine, like. It is the Weapon X program, but it's when they think they're working for a government program that's a different thing, that's not actually the thing they think that it is.
So they go to, this group goes to, I believe it's somewhere in Africa, let's say Nigeria or somewhere, to get a space rock, which hits under Earth, and it turns out that's the source of adamantium. So Stryker wants that for a reason.
Pretty sure that ended up with a huge legal battle between like the almost ready Marvel studio and the Fox universe because they wanted it to be vibranium.
Yes, and this is the actual reason why Cap Shield is made of vibranium and not vibranium and adamantium.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. Ultron but they tried to sneak in, hey, we can take the vibranium from Africa and work that in, and then we can sneak in rights to saying that so Marvel can't use it. And they were like, the fuck you can. And then last minute they had to just call it a different name. I can't remember what it was. It's unobtainium or whatever the fuck stupid name they wanted to call it.
And this scene actually involves one of the few highlights of this film, the maybe 5 minutes with Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
The 5 minutes when he could actually talk.
Right. Yeah. Because he's the only one who's
when they let him be Deadpool.
He's the only one who actually seems to be having a good time here. And
Really. Was it Ray Stevens as the fucking Blob?
Oh, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like, he wasn't terrible as Blob. Like, you could tell he was kind of having fun with what he was doing. And, like, yeah. His scenes weren't terrible. Like, even Will I Am, like, he wasn't an actor, but like he was serviceable in the part they gave him. They might have been a little too much usage because of his name, but like
Will I Am was an exhibition delivery device, and it's hysterical every time.
And you had like
Mary looked like he was having fun.
Yep.
And he literally like pops in, like that's his mutant power is to pop in, deliver a line of exposition, and then poof, pop the fuck out again. And it's like, all right. Yeah.
I've got a
Dominic Monaghan. You could have used him so much better.
Yeah,
but like even Liev Schreiber wasn't a bad choice in this. Like the actor, like the cast wasn't bad.
I know what character he played. Yeah. He was great.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah. Apparently,
he really wasn't Sabretooth, but he was a good character.
The only actor I wasn't really thrilled with was the one that played Stryker. But I don't like him as an actor in general. So.
Because he's also
in Yellowstone, and I wasn't a fan of him in Yellowstone either.
Let me put this whole thing out there, because I know that the official synopsis does say Sabretooth, I think, on Wikipedia. Are we sure that the character wasn't actually Wendigo?
It just says Victor, so you can take that out. Victor is usually Sabretooth, but...
His name in there is Victor Creed.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah. That doesn't mean that he didn't eat
human fucking meat. I mean, come on.
Oh, that'd actually be like a way better story than anything they've done with any of the Wolverine Sabretooth stuff so far.
Right.
They were kids together and they had, in order to survive, Logan was slicing off fucking chunks of meat and feeding them to fucking Sabretooth, and he ended up getting the Wendigo curse because of it, even though Logan was healing back no problem and walked away free, and that's why he fucking hates him.
Well, I mean, he's dead at the end, he gets up as a zombie, and then he's just Wendigo from then on.
There you go. Yep.
All you can say.
I had read somewhere that Liev Schreiber was originally supposed to be Stryker, and I'm not sure why they changed that.
Because he looks a lot like fucking Hugh Jackman when you put those sideburns on, and they were like, okay, well, we can make them brothers and Sabretooth, and that's studio logic, basically.
I suppose. Yeah. So after the thing in Nigeria, Logan gets pissed off at all the killing and leaves. And he goes to jump forward.
Imagine you're a black ops unit that's like sub government fucking like contracted, and you're surprised that you're gonna kill innocent people. Like,
yeah.
Yep. So he goes out to the Canadian wilderness and takes a job as a lumberjack. Movie jumps forward about 6 years, and he's stacking up with Kayla Silver Fox, played by Lynn Collins. And, you know, he's just kind of doing a job. And having
she was okay. I didn't dislike her as an actress in the movie, but like the way it was written was very Talia from fucking Dark Knight Rises. Where it's like, okay, obvious villain turn is coming halfway through this movie, and it's so telegraphed, it's not even fair to the actress. Like,
and it was, we'll get into that in a bit, but the turn was kind of stupid to me.
Well,
but
the Talia turn not?
Yeah, I mean, that was terrible.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying the Talia turn was done well, but yeah, this was particularly
stupid.
Dumb. Stryker comes to him in Canada and says, hey, I need your help for something. Wolverine basically tells him to
fuck
off.
Aren't you supposed to be in the base getting found by Sophie Turner?
Yeah, that's true. This would have been around Apocalypse and all that.
Oh, yeah, but don't worry. It's all like mind fuckery
anyway.
Yeah.
See, that's the ultimate cheat code with Wolverine. Oh, that was a memory implant. Just forget about it.
Yep. He turns Stryker down, and then Victor shows up and apparently kills Kayla, and Wolverine freaks out and goes to Stryker and says, "All right, help me kill. I'm gonna kill Victor. Tell me where he is and all that." And he Stryker offers him the adamantium process as a way to actually be able to kill him.
Well, first Stryker says that like they're hunting down the members of not Task Force X, but he doesn't tell him that it's Victor. And then Wolverine does not check Kayla's body at all. He doesn't even bury her. He just leaves her in the woods. And then he's like, I'm ready to be Wolverine now.
Which is kind of like, yeah, for someone
who's like, just make sure you give me dog tags.
Smell a fucking trickle of blood and hear a heart fucking beat, even when it's like the faintest. Like he's just like, no, she's dead. Fuck her. It's like almost like he was like, I'm done with this relationship anyway, so let's just do this anyway.
just to remind everybody of two of my favorite Wolverine moments, and anyone who knows me knows I'm not really a big Wolverine fan. When Jean Grey briefly comes back from the dead, he smells her like across the country and goes into berserker mode. During the real Age of Ultron, when him and Sue Storm go back in time to the dinosaurs and they're stranded there for months, he tells her that he can smell her all the way across the earth.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know that I need that. Sure. So,
here's a little casting note. I was just looking at the Wikipedia. Apparently, Michelle Monaghan turned down the role of Kayla because of scheduling conflicts. So that would have been an interesting way.
I wonder what that would have been with.
I don't know.
But my general thing about this movie, aside from some of the larger, like the thing that drives me nuts about this movie is how many times do we have to show Hugh Jackman screaming the name Victor over and over and over again, or looking up at the sky and yelling "No!" Like I just can't. Every time it happens, I'm just laughing because I was just like, I can't process this again.
Well, dialogue is heard when you set up,
so they could just set up scene transitions.
He just wanted his con moment.
Well, it's not just one con moment, though. Like, that's the only way they knew how to transition from moment to moment was, okay, now have him scream and cut to the next scene. Like,
yeah, it happens like 8 times, and it's painful.
Who's the guy that does?
Gavin
Hood. That's why.
He gets the medal, runs off, and at that point, he goes to that's when he goes to New Orleans, right? And recruits Will.i.am to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, he goes to the grandparents' place. They take him in, feed him, give him a motorcycle.
He goes to that.
The guy comes after him.
Yep.
This is also where they were like, hey, our original X-Men cast is kind of getting expensive. Let's try and set one up so we can bring him back in a little while and make him a little bit cheaper. And they were like, okay, yeah. And now Gambit's going to be his pilot.
Yep.
I don't know why, it just was.
Yeah, he gets, taken in by this old couple that give him a jacket and a motorcycle and shit, and then
Stryker
and kill those people with bullets, but that Agent Zero guy is like, hey, Wolverine just killed these two people, and it's like, they're not gonna see the fucking bullets?
I remember being really pissed off at that, because it's like, okay, you called them James and fucking Heather McDonald, Hudson, and it's like,
really?
That's the two characters from Alpha Flight. And it's like, okay, so you just cut off any chance of doing an Alpha Flight spinoff, which actually probably wouldn't be terrible. No, they really could have used that. They really could have used an idea to like that. What'd you say?
I said, is Agent Zero supposed to be Phantomax, and they just couldn't say it?
I think it's supposed to be a mix between Phantomax and Maverick.
I couldn't figure out what the character was supposed to be. He was a waste. Logan goes to New Orleans, or that's where Will.i.am was, right? Or they go.
No, New Orleans is where he fucking meets up with fucking Gambit. I think. Random location, Arizona, maybe he meets up with fucking
the boxing ring with the Blob.
Yeah, I was gonna say he meets Blob and Will.i.am wherever.
You just call me Blob. You just call me Blob. Yeah.
No, I called you Ding. Yeah.
There's a ridiculous boxing scene between Logan and Fred Dukes, the Blob.
But like I said, he seems like he's having fun with it.
Yeah. I like him way more in the beginning scenes where he didn't have the
he's more muscly. But
wasn't Blob when he was just Bob.
Yeah, but the fat suit just looks so ridiculous. I was just like, okay.
But that's part of the fun of it too, is the cheesiness. Yeah. And they all knew what they were, they weren't doing a fucking Oscar winning movie at that point. They were just doing something for fun. And it's a stupid moment, but it just I appreciate just the honest, this is funny. Yeah. Let's do it.
Now the implication here, if you stop to think about it, because there are other things that would be happening around this timeline. Days of Future Past causes a ripple that goes back in time, which puts Apocalypse in a timeline, because he doesn't exist at all in this timeline. So Moira Taggart unearthing Apocalypse only happens because of Days of Future Past. So everything is Wolverine's fault, if you think about it.
Well, I mean, he's the funniest character we've ever had. He's really the key to everything.
Yeah. So he's told by Blob that Stryker is collecting mutants on an island somewhere, and that Victor is working with Stryker to do this, and he doesn't know where the island is, but he tells Logan, who does know that, as the one person who ever got away from it, Remy LeBeau, I almost called him LeBlow, we can laugh at that.
I mean, that's fair enough for this movie, because that was a terrible Gambit.
And they're bringing him back to
him. Taylor Kitsch. He's awful. He's awful. I've liked him in things he's done since, but in this, he's awful. The accent just goes in and out. I feel like all they wanted to do was have a scene with the cards and have a scene with him flipping a jacket around and the stick, and they didn't care about the rest. So there's a obligatory fight scene between them, which is stupid. And then he agrees to fly him to where the island is, and it's Three Mile Island. Whoopty shit. So he jumps off the plane, goes to Three Mile Island, where Stryker basically has a mutant prison, and he's collecting mutants in order to take samples from their genetics and integrate them into Deadpool, who he's using as a test bed for let's give one mutant all the powers everywhere. And yeah, so like that's a thing, I suppose. You find out that Kayla's not actually dead. The whole thing was just a way to get Wolverine to take the medal. And she had like powers of persuasion and stuff that were able to, where, you know, supposedly that was, I don't know why they had to fake her death in that way. Like, I'm not sure what the,
because they did,
I don't know why they
did
anything they did in this movie. Like, literally, they give him the adamantium and they make him indestructible. And then the army's like, you just made him indestructible. Why did you do that? In fact, Striker's like, shut up.
We don't know. Yeah, we better go kill him. Like,
so we can take his DNA and put him in the others.
This is from the like era of comic books where a director slash writer would go out, read an entire fucking backlog of comics, and then get him kicked in the head by a mule and like get it all fucking jumbled up. So that was one of the things that like, that was one of the things they were like, oh, Silver Fox, she's known for being dead for most of the time until she wasn't and then was again. And that's all they did with her. Like,
so then
they
I
didn't
have
realize yet that it'd be way more effective if they actually waited till the second or third movie for her to show up and be like, oh yeah, I wasn't dead the whole time, right? Like,
Gavin Hood is like, a creative director in the first
in the comics, like actually worked and like, you know, was listening to them and their demands for a while, and we even see a little bit of that in Apocalypse. Like this one, he like immediately wakes up, he's like, all right, I'm on my own now, fuck you.
Yep. After you just put millions of dollars and billions of dollars in of military tech in my body, sure. Yep. So
he just does the Forrest Gump where he's like, I just kept running.
So I just kind of blew over the thing in this movie that breaks it the most for me, the Cyclops of it all. Why in God's name is there a younger version of Cyclops in this movie that they pick up for the Striker thing for literally no reason?
You remember Cyclops.
Because you can't have Professor X rescue a bunch of mutant kids if Cyclops isn't the first student, so of course he had to be there.
Yeah. But also, it's like 1986 by way of 2009, and they make no effort to establish it's either time, so...
And they also thought, like, hey, eye lasers are cool. We want Deadpool Weapon 11, whatever the fuck they call them in this, to shoot eye lasers. Who has eye lasers? And they were like, Cyclops. And they were like, yes, brilliant. Bob, you're getting a $10 million raise.
He's right.
Like, then I hang up on everything this character does because I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, and granted, some of this stuff is in the later movies, some of it isn't, but like, how does he have the glasses already? Like, wasn't he given those by Xavier? Like, wouldn't he be blowing the fucking high school apart just by being in the room?
Well, so, the implication is that, like, he's just wearing red sunglasses for no reason.
Yeah. And then I was like, he meets Emma Frost, who's also there, and that never comes up again anywhere. But then again, they never use Emma Frost again after First Class.
Yes.
So
first class. Yeah, well, she shows up in First Class as 30 years older than she was 20 years later.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what the fuck?
With a really bad CGI DH Patrick Stewart showing up at the end.
Like, oh my god, yes.
That doesn't even look like CGI. It literally looks like they went down to the fucking Halloween store, got a Jean-Luc Picard mask, put it on Jim the Stagehand, pinned it to him with clothes hangers, and like just said, go ahead.
And then because he has to have the compromised memory at the beginning of the first X-Men movie, they do this convoluted, frankly retarded thing where Stryker has an adamantium bullet, and if you shoot him in the head, it won't kill him. They somehow know it won't kill him, but it will screw up his memory. Like,
no, but if you bruise the exact right spot in his brain where he forgets the last 45 days, you're safe.
Which kind of sucks at the end, because when you go back to Logan, the solution to killing the whatever the thing is, it's Logan is carrying around the adamantium bullet to kill himself. Like, yeah, but right. We kind of established in X-Men Origins that you can't really do that.
Kill him.
You try.
Yeah. Right.
But like, you probably could kill him with an adamantium bullet if you shot through his brain, or like up through, like, but like right in the middle of the forehead where you've got the most solid bone. Like, what the fuck is that going to do? Like, again, if you hit him in the exact right moment to make him forget this movie, then you're safe.
Yep. It was I am literally, I've seen this movie a couple times just in the multiple rewatches I've done of the whole series, but like looking at it for this, you know, knowing that we were going to kind of disassemble it a little bit, I was just every 20 minutes or so, I was just like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Oh, wait, it gets worse.
I love it.
Oh, well, wait, I love the cheese in this one. Yeah. Like,
you know, I'm the judge. This is one of those movies that's so dumb you got to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well, like, Stryker's pitch is, you know, don't you want to serve your country? He just looks at him. He's like, I'm Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's the cheese. Like, it's meant to be like a throwback to an 80s action movie where, like, and it's kind of like a throwback to like one of the old fucking like kung fu movies where like you got to walk through the three or four fucking boss fights and then you do the like it was one of those. And it's like,
I'd rather watch this than a depressing Japanese melodrama that has schlock thrown into the last 12 minutes.
I would rather watch this than like anything that came out of like phase four.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Right?
Like,
and you also have the epic one-liners. When he leaves, he's in, what was it, Lagos, and he's like, I'm going to leave now. It's like, can Victor, he's like, no, we can't just let you leave. And it's like, what?
He's like, you can't? Okay.
Remember the scene where he throws a motorcycle at a helicopter?
Oh.
Yeah.
But
injuring several Asians.
One thing that really helped me get through these movies is none of them are connected. Everything is its own separate thing. And there's no connections between any of the three. Every one of these three said it's in its own universe really helps things along.
Well, it's, the only trilogy of movies that when you try to connect them,
it's like the holes have holes. That's how deep those holes go. It just makes
Like, sense.
Well, they tried fixing them as you went along. Like, they tried going, well, X-Men Origins had a bunch of shit fucked up. Now we just did X-Men First Class. Now let's try to mix X-Men First Class, since we did a Wolverine cameo, into, you know, the Wolverine. And then when the Wolverine didn't really do all that great, and then Logan happened, they're like, oh, let's try to mix all of the movies together after Days of Future Past and try to, like, you know, show Logan after that or whatever.
Well, the best way I can analogize the entire Fox Men franchise is, like, it's literally a sailing ship, like, an old fucking, like, you know, sail ship, like, cannons and all. And it's, like, every movie they put out was another cannonball through the fucking hull, and instead of actually taking the time to stop and like patch it right, they just kept slapping little band-aids on it that were still spurting leaks. And then by the time you get halfway through, it's literally just straight under, and they're like, fuck, what happened? It's like, well, all of the mistakes along the way that you could have fixed, but you were just like, no, band-aid, or like, oh, pretend that didn't happen. And then once you get so far in, then you get the nostalgia kick where it's like, oh, remember this thing happened? And it's like, yeah, but that made no sense. So why are you bringing it back up and making your movie worse by trying to get that nostalgia kick on something that was stupid in the first place?
Yep. So this movie, when all said and done, made $373 million worldwide on a $150 million
budget.
Yeah. So, I mean,
not great.
Well, that's still
home about.
It's that's still like slightly profitable.
Yeah, more in line with
great or even 09.
You know, which would bring us to 2013's The Wolverine.
Yeah, but when you think about it, like what that made in the difference compared to like what movies are being made for now and coming short of, it's like that's a fucking huge success in today's fucking market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, really, that's a profit of what, like $70 million or something? I mean, I think
it's not much, but it, like, again, in today's market, it's like, woohoo, it's not in the red. We fucking nailed it.
Yep. Which brings us to 2013's The Wolverine, directed by James Mangold, starring Jackman again. And I'm going to sound crass here, but I don't remember a lot of these names. Lots of Japanese people.
Yukio.
Justin, you want to go ahead and pronounce some of these for us?
Hold on, let me pull up the wiki. I'll tell you exactly how it's supposed to sound.
Okay. So originally, this from everything I read, originally this movie was supposed to be directed by Darren Aronofsky, and he backed out for some reason or other, and they replaced him with James.
Every time he got close on a script, the studio was like, "Oh, but add this, and then add this, and add this." And he said, "All right, fuck this shit."
Aronofsky not worth it. Would have been insanity. It would have been like Old Man Logan. That would have been.
But I'm pretty sure he was one of the first ones to come out and say, like, no, I can't do superhero shit because the studio just keeps throwing shit at you when you're already halfway through getting, like, you can't do your own idea. That was one of the first, like, real critiques of the studio superhero movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
He was one of the first ones to actually say something, like, and besides Tarantino, who was always saying it.
Never forget James Cameron's Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this one is set after Last Stand. So we jump forward to, you know, whatever. I think Last Stand was what? Like you said, 07?
2006.
Something like that. Okay. So Logan's living out in the woods somewhere, and he doesn't really want to be around people because he's carrying a lot of guilt about killing Jean Grey in The Last Stand, which we'll get to eventually. We're going to do all these movies eventually. So he goes to like a biker bar in whatever like town he's in, and confronts some hunter douchebags who hunted a bear and didn't kill it properly, and so that starts a fight with those people, and then he gets approached by a little Japanese chick who works for some rich Japanese guy, who in the opening flashback of the movie, you see him save this guy from the Nagasaki bombing during World War II.
Are we talking about Mariko, who is played by Tao Okamoto?
That's actually not bad. Your pronunciation of Japanese names is better than your pronunciation of English names.
We're talking about Yukio, not Machio.
All the Power Rangers I've watched.
You actually know that better than a lot of the other names you've done.
Mariko is the granddaughter. Yukio is the one that came.
Was it Yukio?
It's Yukio.
Played by Rila Fukushima?
Yeah. Oh, yes, we're talking about Yukio. He's nailing these.
There
man.
You go. The secret to Justin pronouncing names is just get him to not speak English ones.
Oh, here we go. But eventually we'll get to Viper, who is played by Svetlana.
I can see the little fucking error circle rolling.
I see him deliberating right now.
He's buffering. He's buffering.
Sarah's making fun of
him.
So, Yukio basically gets him to go to Japan to basically the guy who he saved in World War II is now old and wants to thank him for saving his life and whatever. So because he's got nothing else going on, I think he agrees to go to Japan and at least hear the guy out. So goes to Japan.
You know your movie is well written when like you literally go, well, because he's got nothing else going on, I guess he just goes to Japan.
I mean, he's literally living in the woods doing nothing. I mean, I don't really know how else to put it.
It's
like his life's ambition is to just chop fucking trees. Like, let him.
Yeah, why was he doing that, by the way? It was like leaving claw marks on trees for what reason?
Territory.
Didn't get lost?
No, he's marking his territory against, like, bigger predator animals. They smell the claws and they're like, oh, fuck that shit. Like,
okay, fair enough.
It's a thing.
Fair enough.
They were just trying to show that, like, he's that one with nature that, like, they smell him and they just leave him alone because, like, not worth fucking with.
He's become animalistic since he's been away from people.
All right, boys, I got to drop out here. Thanks for having me. I will catch you on the next one.
All right, man.
All right, Josh.
So there are also several flashbacks to, not flashbacks, but he is repeatedly visited by the ghost of Jean Grey, so Famke Janssen does show up in here. He's in lingerie the whole time, which doesn't hurt. But, you know, there are several, like, internal monologues between them where I guess that's how you're supposed to, like, figure out what his mindset is during a lot of this. So he goes to Japan, has a meeting with this old dude, who basically
Justin, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, well, seriously.
I don't want to know.
I had to move my laptop's thing so Sarah could get the remote.
Oh, okay. As the camera aims at Justin's crotch, we're all wondering, like, what is he doing?
Yeah. Hey, this is a Discord podcast, not chat roulette there, bud.
Well, that's what you get when you start talking about Jean Grey, man.
Yep. So he goes to Japan, has a meeting with this old dude who, you know, thanks him for saving his life back then and says, you know, if I had the ability to take your healing powers away from you so you could, like, die and stuff, would you do that? And then he deliberates on it for a second and says, sure, but you think you want this, but you don't, basically. So then he leaves, and he does meet the guy's granddaughter, Mariko, played by somebody whose name you mentioned earlier. Anyone who reads the comic books knows that Mariko, I think her last name was Yoshida in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Would go on to be a fairly long-term partner character for him. So he agrees to stay the night there, and the old guy.
We say fairly long-term. She really only showed up for about 16 pages in a 4-issue miniseries, she was killed in that. So she never shows up again. Yeah. But
I've read a ton of that really early shit, so I thought she was in way more than that.
Not really.
He agrees to stay there for the night until he can go back to the U.S., at which point he's having some nightmares about the whole killing Jean Grey thing again, and he gets essentially assaulted in his sleep by Viper, played by the other person that Justin named not badly.
Svetlana, get you by the Gucci.
Who used some sort of nanotechnology thing to take his powers away.
Her mutant power is to make nanobots.
Her mutant power is a poison, but she does her make the nanobot thing that cancels out Wolverine's healing.
But doesn't she deliver it at the same time? So what, does she just like drink the nano? Does she shoot the nanobots and then spit it with the poison? Like,
yeah, never explained that part.
Never explained that they're just like, yeah, forget it. We'll just walk past it.
Just roll with it, man. Just roll with it.
The old guy names his granddaughter head of his company, and Logan somehow takes it upon himself to protect this girl from the Japanese mafia, leading to a bunch of the action scenes in this movie as they're basically on the run from the Japanese mafia.
Because the mafia guy wanted to be named head of the family because it's her brother, fucking Shingen Nishida is the old guy, and what's the fucking young guy's name? Shiro Yoshida is the Silver Samurai, and that's who the main antagonist is supposedly in this.
We'll talk about the Silver Samurai in a minute.
You know what that whole like sucking his like power or whatever out of him reminds me of? You remember that episode of Batman the Animated Series where Ra's comes back, but it's not really him. It's
Clayface.
Talia. It's Talia, and then maybe it's Batman Beyond. And he like tries to make Bruce young again or whatever, and then you find out that it's not really Ra's, it's Talia, and like trying to make him like, you know, back to when he was like 45 or whatever, and then him and Terry like kick ass or whatever, and then, you know, he ends up realizing that he needs to be an old guy again because he's not supposed to be this young or whatever. So this always kind of reminds me of the whole plot of this thing. Sucking his youth or whatever out of him.
So basically,
whole sucking the youth out of them goes back to like, what was the fucking... I can't remember what I'm thinking, but it's like an old fucking sci-fi novel that like the old lady is like literally sucking the youth from the girls that she boards in her fucking like Victorian home.
Oh, I'm sure that's a thing. I can't remember that either, but I'm sure that's
It's basically the story of a vampire, like something that stays eternally youthful by fucking sucking something out of someone else.
Yep. So the whole
that sounds movie like the plot of a lot of movies.
Well, the whole, exactly.
The whole
right?
movie from this point onward is basically Logan and this girl on the run. He's trying to protect her from the Japanese mafia. He doesn't have his healing powers, obviously. So anytime he takes a hit, there's actually some weight to it because he doesn't just immediately go like, okay, well, this doesn't matter. And some of the action scenes are, a lot of the action in this one is well staged. I did appreciate the bullet train fight where
the train
top of
one is actually kind of cool, but then everything else is like bad CGI, just not awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the stuff in the prior movie, but you know,
yeah,
my biggest problem with this movie, like, I liked a lot of the Japan stuff. Like, I did think it was a solid callback to a lot of those comics and things, periods where he does a lot of that stuff.
I felt that was more like, hey, remember when he was in Japan in the comics? Huh? And they didn't do anything really substantial with it. They were just like, oh, well, here's names that we can throw out, and like, this way we can corner the Asian market on this movie. And it felt like a lot of studio idea and not a lot of actual, like, because they had good ideas for these named characters.
Right. Now, here's my biggest problem again is the villains, because Viper is lame and she's played by like a Russian underwear model that can't act her way out of a paper bag. And then they take
Ivanka Trump.
They take a character like the Silver Samurai, who in the comics is actually pretty cool, and turn it into an old guy in an Iron Man suit. Like,
well,
because
that was a bait and switch.
Well, not even that. I mean, well, yeah.
Well, that was a bait and switch, because like, they kept saying like the nephew or the fucking son of the old guy was the guy who should be the Silver Samurai, right?
And like, one of the guys in this, the one that's in Shogun?
I haven't watched that yet. It's possible.
I think so. Sorry.
I haven't seen that
I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting for it to end so I can binge it. But he's in Shogun. Yeah.
Yes, hold on. Yep. I didn't mind.
It was also in
47
Ronin. Another good samurai movie.
I thought some of the stuff toward the like, and then there's a whole scene where like that Yukio chick can see the future and stuff, and she tells Logan, she's like, "I saw you die on a table with your heart in your hand and stuff," and you know what that turns out to be is that he realizes the nanotech that Viper made is wrapped around his heart, and that's what's turning his powers off. So he literally cuts his own heart out and removes it, and takes the nano thing off of it. And so he gets his powers back and then has a giant fight with the guy in the robot suit. And
a DHCGI fucking Ironmonger, basically, that was just really, really bad looking. Because this was like in the era of like everything had to be 3D. So like it didn't look good in 3D or in 2D. So it just.
Yeah. And it's the whole thing is like it's got a superheated adamantium sword, so it cuts the claws off of him, so he no longer has the metal claws. And then I think too, at some point, it starts to like drain the adamantium off the rest of his body too. But that I don't know to what point that succeeds. So he does defeat the Silver Samurai, but at the end of it, he doesn't have the metal claws anymore. We'll get into when we do Days of Future Past down the road why he suddenly has them again with no explanation after this. this movie ends with I believe it was a post-credit scene where he's going through an airport and he's approached by Magneto with powers again, which he didn't have at the end of The Last Stand, with no explanation why those came back again, and a resurrected. Charles Xavier, played by Patrick Stewart, who had died at the end of died in The Last Stand and was back with no explanation, and we would never get one.
You sense a pattern here?
Yeah.
Well, just wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
That's what the teases were, is that we were supposed to get an explanation eventually.
Oh, yeah, I know, and then that never
happened. Lo and behold.
But again, I mean, cannonball through the hull, and they slap a Band-Aid on it and be like, oh, we'll explain it later. The next time, they're like, okay, now something, now here's time for something completely different.
I hope you really enjoy. I like this one more than Origins, but I can see, you know, Josh had said before we sat down to do these that he didn't like this one much either. And I noticed going through it, I was like, okay, I mean, I think it's kind of cool that he's doing stuff in Japan or whatever, but none of the Japanese characters really did anything for me.
Well, that's just, Hugh Jackman is fine, but, like, it's a weak-ass movie. Like, none of the other characters really get any character. They don't... I think the actors that they cast weren't great with English, so they couldn't give them a whole lot of dialogue in any really given situation. So, like,
right.
Most of it is literally just, hey, what can we get Hugh Jackman to, like, stand on screen and pose for? And it's like, yeah, that... Okay, like, for a guy who was as good as what he was as Wolverine, he never really got to be in an overly great movie as Wolverine. I mean, yeah. Logan can be argued. I'll give him credit on that. But, like, I don't know. Like, he just never really got any time to shine with what he could really do in the solo movies.
Mm.
Right.
But you put him in an ensemble movie, even if he's there just to tell someone to go fuck themselves. And it's like, yeah! Like,
I think the... I think where a lot of the, like, secondary mutant characters in Origins were badly used, this one could have used a couple more done well. And maybe I would maybe it would have helped. And
like
that
I said, like, at least with Origins, you've got, like, people who can deliver lines, like Will.i.am, who, like, okay, not a great actor, but there's two or three of those lines where, like, it's like, okay, that was a pretty good line read. Like, it's memorable. Like, Logan has two or three one-liners where you're like, yeah, but like in one, like, again, I don't think they were the best at English when they filmed the movie. So a lot of those actors couldn't really throw out the, like, so it just ended up being like an 80s Ernie movie where he's just whipping out one-liners the entire time he's shredding shit. Like,
yep.
I think it's this one more close to the like, you know, original four-part miniseries and stuff like that. Cause it kind of seemed like that's what they were going for. Mm-hmm. Was like the original four-part miniseries that like originally like introduced Wolverine and stuff like that. Like, I think if they did something like that, which was a little more to the, you know, the source material, I think it would have came out a lot better. Just because I think they tried mixing that with like other stuff and then whoever they could get at the time, you know.
Yep.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
the main problem here is basically the whole idea was like, okay, what do we want this movie to do? Wolverine. And that's all. Well, that's, like, the idea behind the movie was, let's have Wolverine do Wolverine stuff, and then no point did they actually realize
move, they could have made it better, like,
to do, like, Wolverine stuff. If you build it across, like, you don't have any secondary plots that work. You don't have any character development that actually works. Basically, as Brent pointed out, it's like he never gets to do Wolverine stuff in a good movie just because the whole principle of a movie was like, let's just have Wolverine. And it's like, you know,
yeah,
to a certain degree it works, but at some point you have to build it up with something. You have to establish something else. You have to build a plot line, a storyline, develop a character.
I do kind of feel like the script meetings for this were like, what are we going to do? Let's put him in Japan. Okay. And then what?
When did Iron Man 2 come out?
That would be 2010.
Yeah.
Around the same time. So, like, it seems like, was this with the... When was that? Writer's strike? Was it 2008?
This is 2013. Wolverine is 13. Iron Man 2 is 10. So this is 3 years
after. When would it, like, was there a writer's strike in that year or the year before?
No, the last writer's strike was whatever year Quantum of Solace came out in, which I'm not sure exactly when that was.
Well, it just seems weird, because, like, it seems like a couple of movies around that time, like Iron Man 2, like, they were like, fuck story, fuck plot. Like,
was 2008.
Like, fucking actual script. Yeah. Let's just take our main actor, get them to ad-lib, and we'll just throw some scenes around it, and we'll make a movie out of it. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It feels kind of like that. Like, but they didn't have, like, an energetic villain like Mickey Rourke, or casting like Mickey Rourke for the villain. and they didn't have like a love interest or someone for him to actually play off in dialogue scenes like Pepper. Like, even though I don't love Gwyneth Paltrow, she worked well with Robert Downey Jr. in those moments. She was good as Pepper. Like, there's a lot of other things that she's done, and like, I don't like her acting, and there's a lot of things that she does as a person that I'm like not a fan of, but like, yeah, the way she plays off of Robert Downey Jr. in that character, they were like, I like that role for her, right? But like, again, like Wolverine just didn't have Logan, like Hugh Jackman didn't have someone for that, because he was like, I guess that's what the fucking Framke Jensen fucking scenes were supposed to be, but like, he's literally having fantasies of a fucking ghost woman in his head, and it's like, okay, well, that doesn't really relate the way that that does in the other movie, right? Like,
in your head.
I would actually argue that the supporting character cast that he had around him was pretty solid. But looking at what they are, I think this was just a movie that ended up being made maybe a couple of years too early. Because basically, when you look at the main... No, it's like... Because every single... I mean, every single one of them, like... William Lee, he became an established actor. Hiroyuki Sanada became an established actor. Even the Rila Fukushima, she played, what was it, Anna in Green Arrow and stuff. Like, they have, it's all people who having a certain amount of success later on.
And I'm not saying they weren't good actors, but like at the time that they were I don't think their English delivery was as good as it has gotten. And like, once they got that, then they related more to the American audience. But like, in this movie, you couldn't give them a big exposition line.
If you made this movie 3 years later, I think it's past a different movie.
With that cast, if they would have learned, if they would have had more time to learn the English language, I totally agree there. Like, because there's nothing wrong with the actors. Like, a lot of them, like you say, went on to do a lot of things. The one who plays, was one of them in Sin City?
I thought Sin City came out before this.
Okay, that's her. I remember the little Japanese assassin girl from Sin City. I thought she popped up in this, but anyway, there's a lot of them that, like you said, they show up in a lot of things later, and they're perfectly fine. They're completely, but like at this point in their careers, I don't think they had English down enough. So like, you either have Hugh Jackman literally delivering 30 pages of just exposition dialogue to the audience, or you have to bring in a weird fucking side effect moment. So someone is like playing off of him, like, and then they bring in the Famke Jensen fucking Jean character ghost, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
there was an easy solution to this one that they never actually figured out, but it just have everybody speak Japanese instead besides Logan.
Well,
figure out eventually, but then at least you have enough dialogue, because all these actors, they could play off of each other while they speak Japanese. There are moments where they actually do speak Japanese. And those scenes, no matter how miniature and minuscule or they actually are, they work.
Studios also think American audiences are completely fucking stupid. And like, in a lot of cases, there are a lot of Joeys who just won't sit through subtitles. So if you're trying to do a superhero movie that makes all of the monies.
You actually are. In a lot of cases, the Joeys are.
Like, I know a lot of Americans that watch movies with subtitles and love them.
So
like,
you want to, this is a total sidetrack. But right now they're doing the Shogun TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time they're doing it. First time they did it.
Oh yeah, there was one.
It's definitely worth watching. But first time they did it, there was no subtitles on the show.
Japanese people spoke Japanese, and the guy
who played, can't remember his name, the white guy who ended up in Japan, he spoke English, but everybody else spoke Japanese, and there was no subtitles on that. You actually had to go through the entire show not knowing what actually is going on, because you're figuring it out. He's figuring it out.
But that's what I'm saying. But a studio logic is, we're going to lose too many of the audience to make all of the money if we have subtitles in a superhero movie. So, like, they just don't. Right?
Yep.
Like,
nobody said they're brilliant over in Hollywood. So.
Well, I know. Of all the podcasts we've done, how many times have I been like, you know what? The studio really made a good choice there.
If well, you the ever one, is that... brain replaced with a space pod. This actually makes me wonder as we talk through this. I wonder if this movie was made primarily, and not that they completely didn't care about it, because I do think there's a solid idea here, but it's not necessarily executed as well as it could be. I kind of wonder if this turned into one of those movies that they like made because they had to keep, they felt they had to keep the rights. Because,
well, no, because they had First Class, what, like 2 years before? And they had the next First Class in the pipeline. Like, they had all the actors locked. They knew they were doing a sequel to First Class. So, like, it wasn't a rights issue. I think it was basically like, man, First Class was like a competent movie. It was received pretty well, but everyone said, we miss Hugh Jackman. So I wonder if he'll come back. And they made a phone call and he was like, yeah, I'm not doing anything next year if you want to film it then. And they were like, holy shit, write it. We got Hugh Jackman back. And that was literally the thought process.
Okay, so this one made $414 million worldwide on a $120 million budget, so at least it was a little...
pretty good money. But again, it appeals to the Asian audience way more than...
Yep.
And you know what? I'd actually like to see the actual, like, Asian cut of it when they can... Like, I wonder if they redubbed it and actually, like, it makes more sense. You know what I mean?
282.
Well, I mean, that would have been right around when a lot of movies started doing like alternate, like video, like voice clips, like and changing dialogue in different places. And like a lot of the times, like it's in like the sponsorships and stuff. But like there were some movies that like scripts were like almost completely different just by the translation. So I wonder if that could be one of them. It might actually make the movie make more sense.
Okay. So, fast forward 4 years to Logan, again directed by James Mangold, again starring Hugh Jackman. This time he's joined by Patrick Stewart, Daphne Keane, Stephen Merchant, Boyd Holbrook, and Richard E. Grant. This is basically, I mean, it is and it isn't a film version of... It's a film version of the basic principle of Old Man Logan.
It's the same as every Fox Men movie. It's someone read that comic and immediately got kicked in the head by a mule and got everything all fucking jumbled up, and they were like, oh, I can do this.
Even though we have no rights to any of the other characters except Logan, let's do this.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Old Man Logan is one that, like, either you need to do a couple more movies and establish a bunch more characters and have them pop in as old people from the X-Men, or you need to be able to mix with the Marvel characters and actually have those guys pop in the way they should, right?
Well, I mean, if you did a straight version of Old Man Logan, you would need Hawkeye and Spider-Man's daughter and some version of the Hulk. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff they couldn't use. So,
yes, but you could also
get away with that with like Marvel with mutant characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what I was just about to say. Like,
if you could do Colossus, you know what I mean? Like,
well, not even Colossus. Yeah, like, if you did an X Factor movie, you'd have Havoc set up, Polaris set up. You'd have fucking Strong Guy set up. Strong Guy could be your Hulk. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You go on. You do like
this one actually works better for not having as many mutant characters in it as opposed to the other one.
Well, again, yeah, but like if you were trying to do like as close to a one-to-one adaptation of Old Man Logan and you needed those characters in those moments, like you should, like if Fox would have taken the time and done something like X Factor, or like if New Mutants would have actually been a half decent movie, then you could have brought back fucking Wolfsbane as the Spider-Girl character. You know what I mean? Like if you actually took the time to set up your universe properly, you could have had substitute characters that people liked enough in those roles that you could have done that story closer if they actually would have gave a shit instead of being like, we need fucking Hugh Jackman back, like every other movie. But this one was actually a surprise because like we got to set the pace here. Like Deadpool had come out, what, a year and a half beforehand?
14.
A year.
Okay, a year beforehand, and that was like the first R-rated superhero movie, even though it very was not. You know what I mean? Like, so like they were like, "Oh fuck, there's an audience for like a darker, like more adult set." And like at this point, Hugh Jackman had been Wolverine for what, 18 years? I think it was 18 years when they started filming. It was
yeah,
yeah,
Yeah, it came out in 2000.
Yeah, so like, yeah, there you go. It was basically like...
Deadpool 1 was 2014.
So, okay, he was 16 years as the character, him and Patrick Stewart, and this was supposed to kind of be... It was said a couple of times, and then it wasn't said, and then it was like... That this was kind of the send-off as Wolverine for Hugh Jackman and Professor X for Patrick Stewart, because they thought they had a franchise with the fucking new first class movies.
Yeah. I thought they were hiding the fact that Patrick Stewart was even in the movie. I don't remember seeing anything before.
Well, they mentioned that like Patrick Stewart will have a role, but they really didn't hype him.
There may have
and then like once you see the movie, they were like, oh yeah, send off for Stewart, like just as much as Jackman, and like they hid that in the marketing a lot better than they usually do for stuff. Yeah, but it was definitely there, you know what I mean?
Yep. So this movie jumps forward to, I want to say, 2035 or somewhere in that range.
I thought it was 29 or something.
Maybe it is 2029.
I think it's 10 years. Right. It's 10 years, I think, ahead of whatever the Days of Future Past, like, future was.
Yeah.
Okay, no, you're right, Milos. Somebody does say 2029 at one point. Okay. So Wolverine's working as, like, a limo driver in like, California, right? Just, like... Pulling people around, making money, and you find out that he's saving money to buy a boat and go somewhere, and we're not entirely sure where right away. He has a couple run-ins with people who are just jerks, and he is old here. He's much older physically than he has been in the prior films, and like he's trying not to have incidents of violence in any way. So like. At one point he gets assaulted with the, you know, a couple like gang members come after him and he beats the snot out of him because he has to. And then you find out eventually that the reason he's saving money is because he's taking care of Xavier, who's like probably in his 90s and decrepit. And he's having like telepathic seizures, basically. That was
Professor X. I thought it was just Patrick Stewart.
Oh, I love the he's keeping him drugged, like he's keeping him like sedated most of the time, and he has a combination of drugs that kind of take the edge off his powers and stuff. I did like the bit where when he's chasing him around in the wheelchair, he starts screaming an ad for Taco Bell. I did think that was hilarious.
And it's not really a spoiler.
Just to stop you for a second. I'm looking up some trivia stuff from that. James Mangold stated that in this movie, set in 2029, to avoid any conflict, the timeline established in X-Men's Days of the Future Past, but that his goal was to make a standalone movie that was not bound to continue previous storylines or set up sequels.
Well, that makes sense.
That was said afterwards.
Yeah.
Once they were like, oh, fuck. Days of the fucking first class cast is fucking, we failed. Like, what do we do? Then they were like, okay, yeah.
I think Jackman was out anyway. Jackman was out and Stewart was out anyway. So
at that point, I think Jackman actually said that he's only going to do it if he can do it with Deadpool.
Well,
his original thing was only for an Avengers film.
Only if he gets to fight the Hulk, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway,
actually I've been saying this for a long time. My like one thing that I actually do want to see is Chris Evans and Hugh Jackman do a Wolverine Captain America World War II movie.
That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, that'd be fun. I would actually,
and that's
really
something you might
that.
Actually be able to talk both of them into if you have an actually well-written movie. But it's Disney, and how well are their movies written? So
I know
there might have to be some major changes, but like that might not actually be impossible to pull off if you do it right.
Yeah, that's conceivable that you could actually see something.
Yeah, like out of like a fucking like scale of 1 to 10 on the possibility scale, I'm giving that like a 7, like mid 8. Like that's pretty fucking solid.
Yeah, no, that's definitely possible. So,
and like you could also like, yeah, maybe not so much the fucking like Samuel L. Jackson, but like a young actor that's kind of Samuel L. Jackson-y to be like a him back in then.
Throw in Black Panther's grandfather or something. You know,
there you go.
It wouldn't be Fury,
bring back Bucky.
Fury's
and,
only
you know,
like in his like 50s.
Oh no, yeah. See, you're thinking just the fucking like Marvel Ultimates Fury, but no, like that character's been around since like World War II. Like he's been sucking on Infinity Serum for years. So like, you can kind of write him as almost any age if you're smart about it. Right,
you know, not white Nick Fury.
yeah, that Kurt Russell looking motherfucker over there with the eye patch. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying, like you said, somebody like a young Samuel L. Jackson. But
well, again,
if you're in World War II, that doesn't make sense because Samuel L. Jackson in these movies are like, you know, 50s, 60s. So he would be like maybe an infant, maybe not even born.
Well, they never actually say his age, right? So like. You can say like he's already drinking the Infinity Juice and he's fucking 60 when you see him in Captain Marvel, right? Like, well, how old? Okay, 1939. So let's say 40.
Okay, massive digression here. Can we? Okay, so
yes, Logan, the greatest Western ever. Go.
Yeah, in the course of his driving activities, he is asked by a nurse who works at some sort of medical facility to take a little girl to North Dakota for some reason or other.
Don't ask questions, just drop it off.
This woman offers to pay him, gives him half the money up front, and this movie starts off
as a really great sequel to like what happens 40 years after the first Transporter movie.
Yeah. Yep.
It ends up being the plot of a Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule.
Yeah, it was kind of similar.
And it's one of those deals where, like, hey, we know you want money to just fuck off and go in the middle of nowhere and carry your old guy who's dangerous to the population of people. So, like...
Yep.
Because, yeah, the reason he's got Xavier sedated is because his mind exploded and basically killed a bunch of fucking mutants. He went Scarlet Witch on them.
Right. Right.
So, like,
so
Wolverine, Logan gets the offer where it's, like, too good to turn down, and he knows it's something shady because they're like, don't ask questions. And he's like, well, what about, and they're like, just don't ask questions. Pick this up, drop it off over there. Right? It's too good a deal to turn down, so he, like, begrudgingly agrees. It's basically the Mandalorian ripped off the exact like idea of the setup for like why he takes this contract.
Right. That did raise the question in my head. Like, I get what he wants to do. He wants to do something where Xavier will be so separate from any other human population that he's no longer a risk to anybody. But what was he going to do? Like, go sit in a boat in the middle of nowhere until Xavier croaked? Like, what was...
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Sure.
Or take him out in the middle of, literally the middle of the fucking ocean, where, like, when you kill him and his brain explodes, you're the only one that could die from it.
Right.
With as dark as this movie was in times, it could be that.
Yeah, no, it could have been that. They don't really get into it that much, that part of it, anyway. So, there's you find out that this girl was, like, medically experimented on. With a bunch of other young mutants, and she has basically the same powers as Logan, with the claws and the healing and stuff, but she has two claws in her hands and one in each foot, which is something that the comic character this is based on, X-23, has that as well. Of course, she's like supposed to be maybe 10, and
I think 14, but yeah.
Oh, really? Because she's really small. I assume she's like 10.
She. But I mean, you got to think Wolverine himself is only like 5 foot nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, if it's a clone of Wolverine, it stands to reason that she'd be like small average for a female too, which 5 foot would be, or like under 5 foot would be about, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So this whole movie basically becomes like a road trip movie with him and Xavier and this girl as they're trying to get away from the people who are hunting her. And he does end up eventually kind of dragging himself to North Dakota, where the woman who left her with him believes there's like some sort of like mutant area where she'll be safe and stuff. There is a camp of younger mutants just kind of hanging out there, and apparently they have some sort of deal to go to Canada, I think. They were talking to somebody who was telling them go across the border. So, I mean, there's a bunch of really cool scenes in here. I don't know where the whole Western thing comes from. I mean, to me, it's like, yeah, some scenes take place in a desert, and they reference Jane a couple times. Like, it's not a Western. Like, get over yourself.
Well, and it's the same people that are saying, like, oh, it's like a Japanese fucking Ronin movie. And it's like, well, I mean, kind of. Like, you can see the inspirations from those genres, but I don't think it really fits into either one. I think it's just it's a Wolverine movie that's like, yeah.
Right.
It's like, hey, what can we do different with a comic book movie that can cash in on an R rating?
Yep. But for me, this was the best of these three, and it's not close.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the first one because of the cheese. Like, I like a healthy dose of nacho cheese in my movie once in a while. That one definitely delivers on that. But as far as, like, just best written movie, hold the whole way through, like, character motivations, like use of every character they bring in. Yeah, this one's probably the best.
Yep. So there's a whole bunch of things. Like, there's a scene where, you know, they're in like Oklahoma in a casino or something, and Xavier has a seizure, and then they have to, like, there's a bunch of like SWAT team guys looking for them, and Logan basically has to go through this room in slow motion and kill a bunch of them while trying to get drugs to Xavier to stop the seizure and stuff.
And the biggest missed opportunity of the movie is in this moment. Oh, I think John froze. Or did I? No.
What's the missed opportunity moment?
Okay, I thought I was waiting for John to finish his point, but he froze, so, yeah.
Hope you lost John.
When they're fighting all the soldiers, like, when Logan is fighting the soldiers in this little rundown house, he ends up fighting a Logan clone, right?
Yeah.
That should have been Liev Schreiber Sabretooth.
That's the thing, is they wanted, there was a possibility that actually bring Sabretooth for that. But the way Mangold explained it away was basically, if you brought Sabretooth there, then you had to be like, well, what's Sabretooth doing there? Why is he aligned with these guys? And, you know, bringing the clone just made it easier. If you would,
I think I think it ended up becoming more that Liev Schreiber didn't want to come back. And so they had already.
No, he actually came back.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he said he'd come back.
He's always said that he'd
be willing if they gave a call. Like, all they have to do is call him.
I think when they were escaping, when they were in Oklahoma, the casino and stuff, they were going to go through some kind of mutant underground railroad that was going to be run by Sabretooth. He did shoot some scenes. He just never included them in the final part of the movie.
As far as I knew, he actually shot shit. They just didn't use it.
All you have to do is say, yeah, we captured him fucking 30 years ago and brainwashed him. He's been our fucking assassin since. Like,
yeah, but the idea was that Logan's biggest enemy in this movie is Logan himself. And nothing portrays that more than X-24 or whatever they call the clone. So I get it. Basically, like, yeah, it'd be cool to bring Sabretooth back. But at the same time, they really went out to include as little.
Well, again, like, but with Wolverine and Sabretooth, like, it's not just like, oh, this guy that didn't like this other guy. They are literally the yin and the yang. You can't have one without the other. Yeah. So, like, in order to kill Sabretooth, that would be Wolverine killing, like, a giant part of himself and vice versa. So, like, it would have still had the same impact that that the fucking like younger clone Wolverine fucking Hugh Jackman would have had, like, but it would have actually had even more once you add in the entire history that they've had together, right? Like, I think it was just a missed opportunity, right? Like,
yeah, there's definitely a way you could have done it with, I assume when I dropped out, you guys probably mentioned that Xavier gets killed in that bit.
I didn't mention that, no, but no, I said there was, I just said it was a missed point. Opportunity of not having Schreibler in as that character instead of, yeah.
But yeah, this is where Xavier dies.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
A couple of farmers that take them in. And one of them,
and we never see Patrick Stewart again until we do four more times.
I thought it was once more.
Once or twice.
Damn it, Will.
Oh. So, yeah. There's a big shootout and fight at a farmhouse where the, you know, this couple of, this family of farmers took them in for a little bit. And Xavier gets killed by the clone. And then Wolverine and the kid bury him, and then he's basically dying because his healing factor is basically shorting out because he's old.
Well, he's just getting that old.
Especially the way they explain it away is the adamantium in his body is poisoning him slowly.
Yeah, right, and his healing factor is slowing down, so the adamantium poisoning is actually winning. Yeah,
right. Because I think, if I remember the comics correctly, they do say that adamantium is radioactive, so the healing factor is what keeps him from croaking.
Yeah, well, yeah, long exposure to pure adamantium is dangerous in ways, and his healing factor keeps him alive, but as he ages, his healing factor gets less and less, and that now the adamantium is killing him is basically the gist of it,
Right. So the kid basically drags them to North Dakota, and...
And like I gotta say, that kid like quarterbacked that movie when you had some pretty solid actors in it. Like,
yeah,
as a 13, what was she, 13 or 14 when she filmed the movie? Like, she did really, really well. Like,
15 was amazing. Yeah,
I didn't understand like half of what she was saying, but like her acting on screen, I understood everything she was trying to get across. And it's like, you know what? You got to give the kid credit. Like, she definitely fucking did a big chunk of making that movie as good as it was. And like, under the situation, given the circumstances, it's like, wow, like, well, fucking props to her. Like,
I definitely want to second you there, Brent, and credit Daphne Keene on that performance, because she's largely mute for most of it. And
when she does speak, it's in like, it's Latin of some kind.
Spanish. She was supposed to be
Spanish. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I know it's like South American, it's Latin of some kind. I'm not sure exactly which one, and I don't want to be offensive, but like, I don't understand a word she says. Like you said, most of the time she's mute, but like you can tell by like her expressions and her body language, everything she's supposed to be getting across. And it's like, okay, credit to her and credit to the director. Like, they nailed what they needed to get across in her scenes. And it's like, yeah, well done.
Especially one of the funny moments when he goes like, why don't you talk? And she starts to talk, and he just goes on and on. He's like, oh God, shut up.
He starts screaming at him in Spanish, and he's like, shut up. But yeah, I mean, I want to credit her for the performance there in terms of, I mean, a lot of it's done with facial expressions and body language and stuff. And at no point am I like, what is she trying to get across here? It's all done really well. I mean, maybe.
And like, and even when she's like,
I don't know.
And even when she does like that blow up scene where she finally does start, like, he's like, why don't you talk? And then she just blah, and she goes into, you can see the anger, you can see the hurt, like, you can see a lot of emotions, even though I don't understand the words she's saying. And like, he can see her whole story play out on her face, in her voice, even though the words might not be registering, right? And it's like, that's some good acting. Like, there's a lot of adult actors that can't do that shit now, let alone a 13-year-old girl. Like,
right.
She would actually be 11 or 12 years old. She's born in 2005. The movie came out in 2017. So she'd be...
Yeah, so through filming, she would have been,
10, 11.
Now 19. One would... I actually do want to see this person come back in Deadpool and Wolverine.
I heard some rumors that she might have been coming back, but I think the way
I've seen a lot of rumors of people both agreeing.
When they killed off Wolverine in comics, when he got smothered in all the melted adamantium or whatever it was.
He became a statue on their front step for a while.
Yeah. Mm. And before they brought it back.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
X-23 was supposed to like kind of pick up and carry the mantle, and the way
and she did for a little while, and she was actually good. She was actually a pretty good like replacement for Wolverine for those first 2 or 3 years, and then once you start getting some of the political activist writing in the comics, then she got a little bit more stereotypy. That
well, they also
the way Daphne Keen plays her in the movie, I'd definitely be up for like bringing her. Back. Yep. I think she's great.
Again, we've all seen like rumors of like who's been offered to come back, and apparently she was one of them. Like, I'm not going to say whether the rumor was she is or she isn't, but yeah, she was offered, and that much is confirmed. So we could see her back.
Yeah. Yep. So
in what capacity, I don't know, but it's.
I just hope not just for Deadpool, but Marvel actually picks her up because I mean, she was absolutely great. This is like one thing that I wouldn't say complain about, but one thing that we did point out during the first two Wolverine movies was actually that, in a way, Wolverine didn't have really anybody to play off of. Mm-hmm. Here she does. And she does it phenomenally.
And he's got like very extreme things to play off of, and he plays off them all very well. Because like, even like Stephen Merchant is fucking Calibans. The name.
Caliban,
like,
yeah.
He's not in the movie for long, but when he is, you get that that's like Logan's only like person he can have a normal conversation with, right? Then when he gets to the stuff with him and Xavier, you can tell like it's someone taking looking after a senile parent, like, and like that he does that really well. Like I've had grandparents that have gone senile, Alzheimer's, and fucking different mental fucking diseases that fucking just ate away at them before they were gone, right? Mm-hmm. And like the interaction between them is actually very on point, like where like there's super lucid moments that just fade off into complete gone, right? Like there was a lot of that stuff that was handled really well. And again, like credit to the actors and the director and the writers for actually getting those moments, like I can't say right, but like they felt right. You know what I mean? Like they can really be relatable to things that actually happen when you have a parent going through that kind of mental right?
Yep.
So like that was cool. And then you go into like him with Laura, who like I'm sure by this point Logan must understand how to speak Spanish, but like if he doesn't, like even just their interactions, by the way that like you can see the anger and the fucking like hurt and the betrayal in her face, like the way he plays off of that is fucking great. And like it's nice to see that they actually were like, okay, for as many times as we shit the bed in solo movies for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, let's do this one some justice. And they really did. They like,
yeah.
Like I said, the only thing that I really can complain about is they probably like if this was the goodbye to like the Fox universe, like Logan, Professor X, like. Guys that started it, I think you probably should have had Sabretooth be the guy that like died in his hands at the end, just because that is their story. Like, it's the Anakin Obi-Wan kind of thing, right? Like, you know, they kind of have to. Well, not so much Anakin Obi-Wan because they died at different times, but like they are the back and forth. You know what I mean? Like they're the yin and the yang. Like you can't kill one without the other. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Right.
Like I said, that's the only thing I can really complain about at the movies, and that's I can usually complain about a lot of things. So Batman, that's actually, Batman Joker, like, or Batman Superman when you get to Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller book, the old one.
Yep.
Right.
The actual good one, not that crappy.
Yeah, where like they literally die choking each other out, like perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, and that's what Wolverine and Sabretooth basically should be like. Superman and Lex Luthor, like. Yeah, Superman should be able to outlive Lex Luthor by like 300 years, but fuck that. They should die at each other's hands because it's just the way they've been.
The Sherlock Holmes Moriarty thing.
Too. Yeah, right? And I mean, even that one doesn't really stand up because Moriarty died and Sherlock lived, but there is that, that kind of thing.
That makes me wish that Niles from The Nanny there showed up in this. And that him and Patrick Stewart had a moment.
He shows up as a de-aged fucking Magneto.
Yeah. So this basically ends with a big shootout between all these military dudes trying to find these kid mutants, and Logan decides to help them after not really giving a shit once he drops the kid off.
He decides to help them by playing with himself.
Yep, they have like a mutant steroid that like ups his powers like temporarily, and just probably to give him enough juice just to get through the fight or whatever. And he takes out a bunch of these military dudes and fights the clone.
I want to go back and put like that scene, but when he takes the vial, just have Compound V written on it from the boys.
So, you know, he kills the clone, but he does die as a result of this. And I have to say, when I first saw this, I did not think they would actually do this. I thought they would be so afraid to do this because, you know, at that time, I don't know where the Disney sale was or if that was even going on by then. But I was
there's no way
they're going to do that. They want to leave it open.
I don't know. See, there was a lot in the marketing that was like, oh, fuck it. And like, this is the cowboy riding off in the sunset, and it's like, I don't think the way this character is, he gets a happy ending. And like, that seems like the most Wolverine way to go is to die while protecting kids. And it's like, that's fine.
Oh, it completely made sense to me in the moment. I just didn't think they'd have the balls to actually do it.
Endgame, right? Like, ooh, is it going to be Iron Man or Cap? And then when you say, well, what if it's both? You go, oh, right. That's what it's going to be, isn't it? It was kind of that for me, right? Like,
no, it's similar. You're right. So this is kind of the... this movie also ends up kind of... And we'll get into the larger universe stuff because we're going to do the two Deadpool movies soon, probably. And then our goal is to do the other X-Men movies over time as well.
Well, the X-Men we're kind of trying to like hold on to until we get closer to an actual X-Men. If fucking Disney Studios lasts that long,
yeah. So this is kind of the closer to that whole universe, really. I mean, like that New Mutants movie comes out after this, but that thing is a piece of shit and has very little.
And that was supposed to be a completely different thing where like, oh, well, this might launch the next group of X-Men, but it's not the thing now. And like, right. But like,
well, I mean, after this, you do get Apocalypse and you do get like,
Dark
Phoenix and stuff like that.
I forgot that those were after this. Yeah.
But this was supposed to be like after Days of Future Past, this was supposed to be the final goodbye to the original Bryan Singer cast until it wasn't. Right?
Mm-hmm. So that raises my final question, okay? I really like this one, and as much as I do want to see him come back for this Deadpool movie, there's part of me that goes, why? Because you're in a way kind of crapping on this. And I know Disney doesn't care about that because they didn't make it. So like, why?
Well, I think that's the whole point. They didn't make it successful, so now they want one crack at Hugh Jackman to make it funny, silly, throw that all away so people can ignore the Fox Men and just go into the Disney thing. And that's what they've done with every fucking franchise they've gotten in the last Bob Iger era.
Well, it's basically the Vince McMahon idea of taking all the guys from WCW and, you know, making them jokes. You know,
it's
what I mean?
The Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
We finally got this fucking toy and put him in fucking polka dots.
Yeah.
You know, and like the only one that was able to get out of that was Booker T. Deadpool is kind of the Booker T. of
that. We don't even know that for sure yet. Like I said, I like what I see so far, but I can also see this going very watered down.
I think Disney knows they got somebody with Ryan Reynolds. They know they're not going to... This is going to be the end for Jackman because Jackman's getting...
Yeah,
old.
But like...
You don't want to do
they
this.
Knew
you
know they what I mean? Had something I'm gonna be the honest Defenders, with you. But the stuff with the hand didn't work. But they wouldn't change it because they're stubborn assholes. And like they know that they have something with Deadpool, but they know the time agency shit from Loki really isn't working that well. And they're still going with that. So it's like, well...
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Jackman's going to be in Deadpool and Wolverine. I think it's all like a trick. I think the sets photos are a joke, and I think it's just gonna be like Wolverine's claws at the end, and then that's it. Like, you're not actually gonna see Wolverine in this movie at all.
They're not doing that.
No, you're definitely gonna get him.
Yeah, you're gonna get him. That. I don't know to what extent, but he's definitely gonna be there.
Here are my predictions. He's in at least half the movie, okay? If not more than that.
I'll give him maybe not half, but I'm going to say at least a quarter of the runtime as Hugh Jackman Wolverine. Half of the runtime overall with different Wolverines.
Okay, that's also possible. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I am betting too,
and I will say this now, we'll see when the next Avengers movie actually happens. He will be in an Avengers movie as well. They're not done with this.
Mm.
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go against you on that. I'm going to say my prediction is Wolverine is in half of this movie. Hugh Jackman is in a quarter of this movie. Daphne Keene is going to be Wolverine for a part of it, and you're going to see a new recast Wolverine for moving forward shown for a part of this.
Okay,
I think is how they're going to play it, right? But yeah, I think that's going to be like, okay, now, and then like by the end of the movie, whatever happens, Logan and Wolverine, or fucking Logan and Deadpool are going to end up in the main Marvel universe. Yep. Maybe that's the only one that's left at that point because they've killed all the other ones. But yep. I think you're going to see, and they're going to be like, okay, well, Wolverine's established, so like he's an Avenger, but the X-Men are new, so we're going to tell their origin whenever, right?
Okay, so yeah, so to build on that, my prediction is, again, he's in at least half of this movie, and then he will show up in whatever the Kang Dynasty ends up being. They're not calling it that anymore. And
yeah,
he will,
it's just like Avengers 5 or something.
I still think they should cast Chris Tucker as Kang, and when he takes the mask off, they just go, "Dang, Dynasty!" Dang.
Well, I saw a meme that said that the best recasting would be to make Terrence Howard.
I saw that.
I actually wouldn't mind that.
That wouldn't be the worst one they could go with. No.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't deal with him again, but I could see that.
I mean, he's a step up from Lee Majors.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, from Jonathan Majors? Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that guy, yeah. Lee Majors was fucking $6 million man, wasn't he? Yeah.
I was going to say, that Fall Guy, movie went out in May. I mean, was that what you were thinking about? this is good, guys. I guess the next thing we would probably want to hit is the two Deadpools. I mean, we could do that soon, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm up for Deadpool.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that Logan inspired Jason David Frank to want to have an old man Tommy movie in the Power Rangers universe, which never ended up happening, but they
because trying to do it killed him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, sad then, true. And then they ended up making basically an old man Tommy comic called Soul of the Dragon. So
and
that
basically
that
wasn't him
being...
wanting to do old man Tommy at going against Saban, why he never showed back up in the like fucking Rangers Forever thing or whatever.
Pretty much that in the whole like White Dragon movie thing he was making.
Yeah. I thought that was the old
Hasbro
man story
was not,
the White Dragon.
Yeah, because Hasbro was not happy about that. So that's why the 25th anniversary was the last time you see him, which is when he's with Rocky, Cat, and like two other people. I think maybe TJ, who ended up being the Red Ranger after him and then ended up being the Blue Ranger, and then somebody else was in it.
Yeah, no, I know he didn't show up in the last one, and like he could have, he would have been alive to film some of the scenes if they were on speaking terms, but they weren't, and that's why it was Jason David Frank and, or not Jason David Frank, the other one, Austin St. James and
Austin St. John, Amy Jo Johnson and
Billy
Jason
wasn't
David
it?
Frank. No, Billy was.
No.
In it.
Yeah, not Jason David Frank. Yeah, the other one.
David Yost.
David Yost. Yes.
Yeah, but he was in it. He's a major part of that thing. But yeah,
also Walter Jones.
Oh yeah, he's in it. Yeah, everybody came back except for
Tommy and Trini.
Tommy. Well, yeah. Well, no, even Kimberly and Jason didn't come back. But
I thought Jason was back.
Technically, they're there in like costume, but they're never, not like, those actors. They morph. Yeah, and so yeah. Well, we covered that in the review, but.
Somewhat related news, X-Men 97 fired the director writer today.
Yeah,
it launches tomorrow.
Reviews, what, next week?
Tomorrow? Or it probably is next week, but it's sometime within the next, like, it's a matter of days, not even weeks, and they're like, this guy, fuck him. And it's like, uh-oh, what happened there? Like,
yeah, I was kind of confused by that. I should mention, because we've mentioned it with the other two, this Logan made $618 million on a $97 million budget, which is why I also thought they would somehow do another one.
Well, that's just it. That and Deadpool basically kept Fox alive for the extra 3 to 5 years that it was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what's funny? I looked up the screenwriters of The Wolverine, and one of them
was one of the Game of Thrones guys.
No, one of them ended up being like the screenwriter for like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, War of the Planet of the Apes, like all these great movies that like were well written. And I'm like, how the fuck did you make this movie?
Well, I know one of the ones on Origins was, I'm pretty sure it was Benioff, but it might've been Weiss. It was one of the Game of Thrones guys that like, the guys who thought their ideas were so much better than George's in season 7 that they ended up making the last two seasons really fucking suck. Yeah, that guy.
That's a weird flex.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, so we'll plan on the Deadpools soon, I guess, and get back to this. And then I suppose after that we can figure if we want to wait on the regular X-Men movies until closer to when we have some idea when that might actually
be happening. Well, even just till they do casting announcements and, like, it would just some information. Because we're getting the teases now. Like, we're getting Deadpool and he's going to save the Marvel Universe. He's the new messiah of the Marvel Universe. Like, hopefully that means he's going to... Something in this movie is going to happen that brings the mutants into the fold, so... Dave Benioff,
I did see something today that kind of not pissed me off, because who knows if this guy will actually get this role, but Giancarlo Esposito has been lobbying for the Xavier role for a couple of years
and he wants Denzel.
He apparently said
Magneto.
Magneto? Mm-hmm. Wow. He apparently said, I want to play the role, but I don't want it to be in a wheelchair, because I would just find that to be uncomfortable. And it's like, okay.
I want to do the thing, but can you change it entirely for me?
Like,
and I don't think
whatever that means.
But, like, I don't think that'd fly, because, like, yes, you can race swap a white guy to a black guy, and if you complain, you're just a racist. But if you swap, a disabled person for an abled person, that could go very wrong in the fucking, view of, like...
That's not great.
Yeah, right? That could go kind of wrong. Like, pardon?
Didn't they already do that with somebody?
Big backlash when they switched Oracle from Oracle back to Batgirl when they rebooted New 52. I remember a lot of people having
In a movie. In a movie, there was like a character that was supposed to be either disabled or they were supposed to have be an amputee or something. And
no, Echo has, in the TV show, Echo has a prosthetic leg because that actress has one, not because the character does.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying Echo. I'm just saying I think there was like a movie where like there was a character, like it may not be a superhero movie. It may have been like a movie based on a book or something. But I think they did that. And like,
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
I remember there was a
Bryan Cranston movie with Kevin Hart where he played a dude in a wheelchair.
Yeah, he was able, but they had him playing the opposite, and they got flack for that. Yeah,
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
And I have to make a point about that movie real quick, massive digression, but like, so many people came to me when that came out and were like, I can't believe you actually liked that movie. As a disabled person, shouldn't you be upset?
I remember this.
Well, no, because there's no fucking way that movie would get made if Bryan Cranston doesn't want to do it.
I remember that on like the old Schmo page, like it was that long ago. And you, I think one of the like quotes, and that was like, well, I was like, okay, I'm going to be internet friends with this guy. Was like, sure, there are plenty of disabled actors that could play the role, but I'd like an Oscar winner who actually knows how to act to do it instead of just some Jimmy down the street. And it was like, yes, thank you. Like, that's the best way to say it. Like,
well, that was well, like was the also- that was like the woke guy telling Hornswoggle that you know, he can't call himself a midget or whatever.
Okay, and what am I allowed to call myself that won't offend you? It was like, perfect. There you go. Like, that should be the answer to every one of these stupid fucking arguments. Like,
I had somebody say that to me once. I fell down somewhere and I jokingly called myself a cripple and or a gimp or something. And some other person who was like 2 feet away was like, you shouldn't say that. That's offensive. And I'm like, I think I can call myself whatever the fuck I feel.
Yeah,
like.
Offensive to who? Me?
Yeah. Like... yeah, sure. Okay, so we will reconvene at some future point for Deadpool and Deadpool 2. I suppose where we will talk more about this universe. And I'm sure with Deadpool we'll get into the Josh Brolin at table stuff and the whole leak of the test footage stuff, which basically got that first movie made, I think. I don't think they were actually going to do that until...
Yeah, the mysterious leak that was 112% Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds! Yeah, there's no way he didn't leak that. I'm sorry. There isn't.
And that literally peer pressured the studio into doing it. And, like, as far as I can tell, Deadpool 3 is the only JPEG greenlit thing that actually is going to ever happen.
Really? I would think he would have greenlit like Thunderbolts and all that stuff.
Well, no, because a lot of that would have been already in the pipeline under Iger. He just got to announce it. I'm pretty sure this is the only one he ever made a decision on that they decided to keep through after Iger came back. Like, I'm not 100% on that, but I'm like 80% sure this is the only project that that started when Iger was gone that actually continued to the end when Iger came back. Like, the only one. So this could be a real big thing in that whole fucking backstage battle that's going on in the board meetings, right?
Yep. Here's my other thing. I still don't believe Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be rated R.
I think it will be, but I think it's going to be a Disney R, not an actual, like, it's going to be a, like, lowercase, not an actual capital R, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
There's going to be two or three scenes where you might see, like, a fucking Ryan Reynolds ass shot, and there's going to be, like, two or three F-bombs, a couple of things that are really easy to cut out for overseas audiences, and your fucking, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon shows, you know what I mean? Like,
Not like what the first two movies are, where every third word out of his mouth is profane.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, the first one especially. The second one even was kind of toned down to be more of a studio movie and less of that. You know what I mean? So, like, what's this one going to be under Disney?
The first one was just mile a minute of R-rated.
The first one was literally the film version of, fuck it, let's just do what we want.
Yep. And then, the second one does have way more, like, you can tell the studio's in that, because, like, this made money, we have to meddle now.
It didn't just made money, it made, like, almost record-breaking money. Like, it, what, like, 10.5 times what the budget was back in profit?
Because the budget was, like, ridiculously low. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was, like, a $70 million movie, and it made back, like, something like $720 million?
I think it was something like that. Yeah, we'll talk about like it when we do.
It literally almost like 10, I'm pretty sure it was slightly over 10 times what the budget was the actual take back. And it was like, fuck, man, like that's impressive on any kind of movie.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. All right. So I will get this posted next day or two and we'll figure out when we want to do Deadpool. I could do it next week. I can watch the two movies this weekend, probably.
Let me know what's up, and I can most likely be ready.
All right. Yeah, we'll put it on the schedule for next week.
Awesome. Okay. I can probably do it off of memory like I did with these.
Yeah.
Or you can watch them.
Yeah, I mean, they're both only like 90 minutes apiece.
All of the fucking like Foxmen movies, these are probably the two most watchable just because at least they're entertaining the whole way through.
Oh yeah, I love both of these movies.
Yeah. We'll have fun with that one, I think. So, all right, boys, thanks for joining me. This was fun.
Sounds good. See you later.